Have you heard about this concept called community power hubs? Community power hubs. I certainly hadn't heard of them before, but a release came across the 4CA news desk earlier this week, just talking about, well, how can communities in regional areas become more self-sufficient when it comes to energy production? How can we harness the emergence of new technologies, battery storage, renewable energies, microgrids, all that type of thing? Very, very interesting space to explore. Of course, the ultimate goal is to reduce the cost of our power bills. Now, my latest bill from Ergon will attest just how important it is to try and reduce those power bills. Of course, solar panels are very, very popular. We know the uptake of those in Australia are among the world's highest take-up, in fact. But there's this concept now being pushed by a national body called the Community Power Agency, and it's all about community power hubs. And they're saying that it will help build prosperity and resilience in the regions. Sounds pretty good to me. To find out more about this concept and where it could take us, and of course how it can save money on those power bills, very lucky to have a chat with Community Power Agency Director Dr. Jarrah Hicks. Dr. Hicks, tell us a little bit first about what exactly are these community power hubs.
Hi. Community power hubs are basically organisations embedded within regional communities that can help local communities to unlock their renewable energy ambitions and to understand what the opportunities are for them to get involved with renewable energy and to benefit, whether that's at a household scale through doing things like energy efficiency and solar hot water and solar PV, or whether it's in their businesses or on their farms, or whether it's at a community scale by getting people together to co-own and co-invest in their own renewable energy system. And through that, they're really in the decision-making seat, and they're also getting financial benefit back into their communities through that project and through that investment.
I've had experts on this show in the past talking about this concept of mini grids. Now, it's where whole streets or suburbs effectively come together and they invest in these little mini grids, which can pretty much take them off the main grid. So here, of course, we don't have any competition. We're solely reliant on Ergon energy. But these concept of these mini grids are really fascinating to me, because it's almost as if people power, community power can come together and create their own little mini grid. Is that the type of thing that these community power hubs will look at?
I think what's amazing with renewable energy is that every community has access to renewable energy resources of some kind, whether it's the sun, the wind, or hydro, bioenergy. There's so many options. And so every community has the potential to explore what's appropriate for them and to benefit through that. And it might be a mini grid, or it might be a small solar farm that's connected into the main grid, and people are able to invest in that project and get a financial return. So there's a whole lot of different models of community energy projects. What the community power hubs will do is to help communities know what those options are and to provide them with the resources and the support to turn their passion and interest into actual projects. We know that over the next few years, there's a renewable energy boom just waiting at the doorstep. And there's a lot of big projects owned by big companies in the pipeline. What we want to see is ways for regional communities to be directly involved in that process and directly benefiting from it. So maybe they're getting involved in big projects as co-investors or co-owners. Maybe they're able to drive their own projects. But really, they need a community power hub to act as a local organisation able to support all of those possibilities.
One of the key criticisms of renewable energy is it requires huge government funding to help them stack up, to make them viable, these community power hubs. What are you asking for? What are you looking for from the feds, I would imagine, to get them off the ground?
Yeah, so we're calling for funding from the federal government to support community power hubs. But what we know, this program has been trialled in Victoria. And what we've seen in Victoria is a 17-to-1 leverage on government investment. So basically, the government puts up some money, helps communities set up community power hubs. They then go and support and develop their own projects in their own communities. And they're able then to leverage investment from people in the community. And that delivers a massive return on the amount that the government puts in. So we see it as a really productive use of government money, particularly because this is about benefiting regional communities and making sure that we have a seat at the table when it comes to renewable energy development. By and large now, we know that wind power and solar power are some of the cheapest ways that we can get our electricity, and wind in particular is the cheapest form of new build. Like if you were going to build a new power station and you wanted it to be the cheapest, you'd build a wind farm.
But is that with some significant government subsidies though, when you say it would be the cheapest option?
No, with no subsidy. Subsidy.
Say, for example, I get together with my neighbours in my street, in my suburb, and I say, look, let's get together, let's co-invest, let's build a mini solar farm, for example, to help power or to help feed back in into the grid and reduce our power bills. I mean, is that the type of, you know, practical, hypothetical example that you could see happen in regional areas across Australia?
Absolutely. Mm. There's regional communities that we've supported to do just that type of thing. Projects near Gloucester, near Goulburn, these are 500 kilowatt or 1 megawatt solar farms owned by a cooperative of local community investors.
Very, very exciting. And as I said, as technology continues to develop apace, batteries and whatnot, you can just see this thing springing up all over the country. I think it's very, very exciting. Now, Dr. Hicks, talk to us about the federal parliament had a look into this issue, but you're saying here that they failed to support the Australian Local Power Agency Bill, despite a 12-month inquiry. Just tell us a little bit about what that bill hoped to achieve and what you're calling for in the wake of that rejection.
So the bill, one component of the bill was to establish 50 community power hubs, but there were also components of the bill around establishing loan and funding programs and different types of guarantees. Taken together, we saw the bill as an enormous opportunity for regional communities, and we're very disappointed that the government has decided not to pass it. However, the committee did find a lot of merit in a lot of the ideas and did agree that community power hubs were going to be important as a way to really activate local people to be involved in renewable energy. So we see that as an opening, even though the bill isn't going ahead. We are still having the conversations with MPs. We're asking MPs to sign up to our campaign. We've got a campaign called Repower Our Communities. Mm. And on our website, which is repowerourcommunities.org.au, we're asking people, anyone who supports this ask of setting up community power hubs, to sign up to our petition, to email their local MP. We're also asking MPs themselves to sign up in support of community power hubs. And basically, we want to raise our voice and get the community power hubs established regardless of the fact that the bill isn't going ahead. We still see no reason why the community power hubs component can't go forward.
Absolutely love this idea. We need one of these in Cairns, a community power hub in Cairns. Absolutely love it. Dr. Jarrah Hicks from the Community Power Agency, thanks so much for your time on The King Review today.
Great to be with you. Thanks.